Once I read a writer talking about what she was not willing to talk about, and I adored the playfulness of her writing, and pondered how creative one can become when one sees herself above the law and thus frees herself from mental limitations, and I said, beautiful. Though I have always been free from limitations set by others, I have always limited myself within my limits, and so today I thought I'd free myself from myself and see how far I can fly into vacuum by breaking all limits, including mine. Soon as I did that, a limitless universe was born from a vagina of a working ant who never owned a vagina. Inside that limitless universe existed one limit, and one limit only, and that was that you had to be limitless in order to be. And though, unlike our universe, that is defined by sets of limits set on top of one another, this limitless universe only owned one limit. Its limit was limiting enough to exclude all beings from it, and so the limitless universe was only full of nothing, and for that it seemed so full and so meaningful, unlike our overcrowded universe that hardly make any sense. I asked the puppet ant how she could labor such gigantic universe, and she replied she could do so because she was a beloved child of that universe before she becomes its mother. I asked who the father was, and she said the limitless universe was its own father. I asked, what's the point of giving birth to a limitless universe that holds only nothing? She replied, Nothing is the child of everything, and everything is the child of nothing. She was making so much sense that I was about to be trapped back into my own limits and start making sense. So I discontinued the conversation with her and continued flying deeper into vacuum. I saw a foot in size of a pin stepping on an eye. Oh no, wait a minute. It was a size 37 foot stepping on a diamond-shaped eye in size of Venus. As it was walking around the planet eye, the foot left footsteps, traces of which were not visible on the eye on which it stepped on, but on a child's hand. I asked the child, do you know what these printed marks on your hands are? The child replies, yes, that's memory. I then realized it was only me who did not know, so I surprisingly asked, how do you know? The child gave me half a smile and replied, a spider is building a net out of human's feet, and a horse is playing a guitar inside the heart of my goldfish. I thought to myself, wow, I'm deep into vacuum. And then I replied, I turn my heart into an aqua tank so that your goldfish can grow into a limitless empty mind so that it can live in the ant's limitless universe. The child's eyes glimmered. Would you really do that for your past? I said, if that would brighten up the world's future, then why not? And then the child melted under the shining rays of joys into dots that formed a drawing of a rainbow. The rainbow was so beautiful that it was doomed to be touched, so I touched it with my wetted eyelashes and mixed and separated its colors to form a painting of a 4-year-old bigger girl called Nijing, in a dusty, red-torn summer dress and a pair of old worn-out black boots. She was sitting in the middle of a silent road under a heavy rain with the pot of water in her hand. I approached her to ask why in such a rainy day, when flood is mercilessly raining off her sky, just so that the painting meets my style, she's holding a pot of water and is wetting herself under the heavy rainfall in the middle of a dangerous road that is dividing the famous Golden Bar. I was walking toward her, holding my head up high, as in my judgmental opinion, my question was rhetorical. And her answer was lucid. She wanted to end her life, and I wanted to save it, and for that, I was a proud hero to be. As I was approaching her, she screamed in her weak, shaking voice, "Be careful not to step on the little rose." I looked down and saw that my eyelashes had painted a dried red rose laying on the road, and so I realized that the poor girl who had a rich heart was not under the shelter with the street dog, but was sitting under the heavy rain with the water pot, not to end her life, but to undo my mistake and give the little rose a life. The life Nijing and her world never had and never could have. The whole instant was so meaningful that I realized, though I went deep into vacuum, I'm no more flying in vacuum, and so, with my eyelashes, I cleared myself out of the painting so that my wings could continue to fly me into vacuum. Finding deep meaning in the deepest part of vacuum, the universe of nonsense, was not as if the end is in the beginning, but it was as if there were many new beginnings, but no ends. Ending was to be drawn by my mind. How ironic that I despise limits, but I can't survive without drawing ends, the start of limitation. To give myself a break, I came back to my sense and asked myself, even there is limitless sense in nonsense, there could be a limitless nonsense in sense. To find the answer, I did not need to fly, but to walk across time and place to see how humans have convincingly played with the concept of wrong and right, and they have always been incredibly right, but also all the time very wrong. It is as though sense in this world is based on the concept of nonsense, but though we have globally made it etiquette to respect the parent, we do not see any sense in appreciating nonsense unless it could be justified that it would be full of sense if we owned more sense. As our little kitten is covering her first poop with soil, the sun joins the poop and hugs it tightly so that it can be saved from nothingness of vacuum, and I, who is most hungry for a ray of sunshine, run towards the poop and dive deep into the earth in hope of catching a ray of sunshine. Peace be upon me. May my immortal soul rest in peace. This story was one of the stories from my book titled 30.5. And as I have noted in the book, the feeling I had when I wrote this story was that I was secretly begging for sunshine. Yes, I still do.